On September 15th, the state's bipartisan redistricting commission came out with a draft set of state and federal legislative boundaries for New York, and then it came out with a second set of lines. The two proposals were a product of the evenly divided nature of the commission, which is split between Democratic and Republican appointees, who were unable to reach majority consensus on what initial lines to produce. For more on the competing proposals and where the commission goes from here, we're checking in with David Imamura, a Democratic appointee and the commission's chair. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hi, David. How are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm good. Thanks for making the time. So you've drawn lines for more than 200 districts, so we're not going to examine each and every one, but I'm curious what you would say was the guiding principle that shaped the approach by you and your fellow Democratic appointees for the state and federal lines you produced.
Well, I think I can speak for both Republican and Democratic appointees in saying that we embrace the principles of the state constitution. We embrace compactness. We embrace trying to keep deviation lower. We embraced, you know, ensuring that communities of interest were kept together. And as you know, we went on a listening tour around the state. We had almost, you know, we had 300 people speak in person. We had over 1,000 pages of testimony submitted. We had 1,400 New Yorkers sign up for the commission to give input. And, you know, my hope is, you know, on both sides that the maps reflect the input that we received from New Yorkers. Because at the end of the day, this is a process built for transparency, where we want to ensure that all New Yorkers, regardless of whether they're a congressperson in Washington or a state legislator in Albany, have equal say on the lines, and I hope that our maps reflect.
Those principles, though, that you're prioritizing don't always fit so well together. Sometimes they can be at odds with each other. For example, making a district compact doesn't necessarily mean that it will be combined with communities of interest. So how do you go about weighing these sometimes competing interests?
Oh, I mean, it's a really hard, you know, line to walk. I mean, you know, we have, you know, one of our, you know, guiding principles in the state constitution is ensuring that, you know, districts reflect, you know, existing the Voting Rights Act, right? And that does not necessarily equal, as you said, squared, you know, perfectly symmetrical districts.
Exactly.
So, you know, we try to weigh everything and, you know, on the Democratic side, the five of us came together and weighed everything, and the result were the maps that have been produced. And, you know, just looking at them, they are more compact. They are less squiggly than the previous lines were in 2010. I think we've done a good job of trying to balance everything and ensuring that we're in compliance with the law, and also ensuring that, you know, we draw districts that, you know, are more pleasurable to the eye, to the naked eye, for regular people.
Are you worried at all, though, about people putting too much emphasis on that eye test when assessing the lines that either you, the Republican commissioners, produce, or whatever the commission might eventually produce as a final product, considering how, like you say, drawing a simple square on the map doesn't necessarily indicate that that's the best possible map. So are you worried at all about putting too much stock on the visual look of these districts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think that at the end, you know, I think people were looking, you know, if people look at the, you know, when people looked at the initial draft of the maps, you know, there were some commentary that, oh, this is still very squiggly. And at the end of the day, people don't live in exact square mark, you know, plots. Mm-hmm. You know, this people live organically. And, you know, we could draw a square that cuts across 20 counties and 30 communities of interest, and we tried not to do that. We tried to draw maps that reflect communities of interest. So I would be the first to say that, you know, you cannot assess a map by any one individual principle. You have to look at it collectively. And there we go. And that the one of the overriding concerns, you know, over compactness, over having, you know, district that looks nice to the eye, is districts that actually reflect the people on the ground. And I think that's what we tried to do, both sides.
When it comes to the size of the districts, you have a lot more wiggle room when it comes to the state assembly and state senate lines compared to the congressional lines, where you basically have no wiggle room. So how did you try to approach the sizing of the population in the assembly and senate districts? Did you operate within a certain margin that you gave yourself, or did you kind of play it by ear?
Well, so, I mean, I would like to emphasize that these maps are just drafts. Mm-hmm. And so when we were drawing the lines, you know, we tried to keep the deviation much lower, as low as possible. You know, I mean, your listeners know this. 10 years ago, the Republicans in the state Senate made every single district in New York City systematically 10% bigger and made every single district in upstate systematically 10% smaller in order to increase the number of Senate districts, right? And so, the Republicans 10 years ago got one or two extra Senate districts that they wouldn't have gotten because they played these games around deviation.
And,
we did not
do
that.
And just to interject, and how did the Assembly Democrats approach that?
The Assembly Democrats also systematically
did the reverse.
Populated districts upset. Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Neither side did. I mean, I think the Republicans had a lower deviation than we did. Mm-hmm. But if you look at if you look at the number of state senators for the city of New York compared to the ideal number of senators, our numbers match that almost exactly.
Right.
And so there was no systematic gaming of the system. We tried to keep the deviation small. The deviations reflect communities of interest, though, rather than a strategic, incentive, strategic attempt to, shift things in one partisan direction or the other.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with David Imamura. He is the chair of the Bipartisan Redistricting Commission, which recently came out with a pair of draft legislative boundaries for the state and federal districts in New York. In terms of the congressional lines, as the result of the recently completed census, New York is going from 27 districts to 26. So how did you go about determining what part of the state would essentially lose representation?
Well, so, as your listeners know, we lost one congressional district by 89 people. And if there's anyone out there who questions the ability of an individual person to make a difference in our democracy, let that be your answer. That the number of people in the subway car was the difference between New York maintaining its current congressional delegation and losing a congressperson. And so in approaching this, I think we looked at the population shifts around the state, and both us and the Republicans redistributed districts that are upstate, right? Just looking at the results of the census, New York City had a tremendous increase in population, an increase that frankly many people did not expect. And meanwhile, that was accompanied by, depopulation upstate. I think both Democrats and Republicans looked upstate for, where to redistribute congressional districts. And I think that's played out accordingly in the map.
How did you factor in, when drawing the congressional lines, where members of Congress currently live? Because members can theoretically run in districts they don't necessarily live in. So did you think about where members live currently, or did you try to ignore that completely?
No, well, the answer to that question, David, is we didn't factor it in at all. We consciously did not look at where incumbents live, and we drew the maps accordingly. And my understanding is the Republicans did as well. We drew districts based off of communities of interest without looking to where individual elected officials live.
Why is that?
I think it was just that was where the commission wanted to start. At least the five Democrats wanted to start was, drawing maps that, reflected the input from the public rather than going into that direction.
It's been almost a week since the maps came out, and I'm curious whether you've had a chance to digest the ones from your Republican commissioners. And if you had, what's been your impression of the product they produced?
Well, I think that, I think both Democrats and Republicans went into this with good intentions. I mean, obviously, I disagree with the Republican maps on a variety of issues, but I think that ultimately these are two maps that we are submitting to the public for their input. And, I've already had people tell me, that our community is better reflected by the Republican map than the Democratic one. And I've said to them, you should say that to us, submit that to the commission, say that in a hearing, because that's something that certainly I want to know is, in terms of going forward. is we want, yeah, we want to be able to represent communities of interest in our map. And so, yeah, whether it's a Republican map or a Democratic one, this is not a partisan, you know, communities of interest are not inherently partisan things, right? Whether you are represented well or not, and you know, whether the lines properly capture a community or not, is not inherently partisan. So that's kind of where we've been going from here.
Generally speaking, then, what were some of the shortcomings as you saw it with the Republican lines, either whether it came to the state legislative boundaries or their congressional lines?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into specific.
Just do it for me.
I'm not going to go into specific district, David.
But generally speaking, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think that they, you know, generally speaking, I think our lines, you know, represent communities of interest better. They represent the people in New York better, and I think that, you know, in terms of capturing, you know, the demographics of the state, I definitely think that ours are better. But I also think, and I recognize, that this is a process where there were 10 of us, and that we need the public to weigh in. And I think that's why, in a lot of ways, having two plans for public consumption is better than one. And I recognize, as I said before, that these maps can, will, and should change based off of public input. And whether that means that the Republican maps are better for your community or the Democratic maps is, you know, that's something that you should say. And that's something that the commission will take into account going forward.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our conversation with David Imamura, chair of the state's Bipartisan Redistricting Commission. When we get back, we'll ask the Democratic appointee about negotiations to craft one set of draft maps, the weak bargaining position of GOP-appointed commissioners, and much, much more.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our conversation about recently proposed legislative boundaries from the state's Bipartisan Redistricting Commission, and our guest is David Imamura, a Democratic appointee to the commission and its chair. Prior to the release of the competing plans, what sort of effort was there, if any, to come up with one draft proposal that a majority of the commissioners might support?
So, you know, we traded maps and we went back and forth, and there were, you know, there were some efforts to try to come together. But I think that just given the timeline that we were on, right, this was a year long process that has been compressed into 3 months. You know, usually the census results come out in March or April. They came out in August. So we had a month to draw lines when normally we would have 5 to 6 months. We worked together, you know, with each other first, right, each party first, and then came together in kind of the final week before the 15th. We exchanged lines, we discussed, but ultimately, at least our side felt that it was in the interest of the public to put out two sets of lines for public input, rather than having literally my Republican counterpart, Jack Martins, and I sit in a smoke-filled room and draw a map for the entire state in 24 hours.
Do you both smoke?
Unfortunately, I do not. I can't speak for Jack.
So theoretically, it wouldn't have to be smoke-filled, but we could just put that in for ambiance?
But it's New York State politics. Everything's smoke-filled, David.
So in the worst, sort of most cynical thought of this commission would be that, okay, these are Democratic appointees, these are Republican appointees, they're going to come in this to draw lines that will benefit their party affiliation, the people who supported them. That's the worst way to think about it. But even a more optimistic version would assume that people come to this process with certain convictions, certain beliefs about what matters for districts. They will have a belief about compactness versus a belief about communities of interest and how to weigh all these things. So is it possible that even with assuming that people aren't coming at this with just a partisan goal, that you might never reach a consensus no matter how much time you have?
I mean, I think it's possible. but I have every hope in a bipartisan agreement. You know, I mean, I think the 10 of us joined a bipartisan commission hoping for a bipartisan result. And I think that, you know, there's certainly, you know, redistricting is definitely more of an art than a science. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the number, you know, the fact that numbers play in definitely pushes things in certain directions. I mean, you know, I think that one thing that I would impress upon the public is how much just the math of population impacts their decisions, right? Like that math pushes districts in certain directions. You know, the distribution of the population is ultimately what drives the district more so than, frankly, 10 people on a commission or you know, or the state legislature later on. Is, you know, we are reflecting numbers on the map. That being said, I also think that, like, you know, as you just discussed, that there's a lot of different inputs that go into math, and that there's a lot of places that people can disagree, and there's a lot, you know, and there's a lot of different communities that will say, oh, you know, our interests are best represented through this configuration versus this configuration, right? And it will be division even within communities about that. But even, you know, despite all of those differences, I am hopeful that we will be able to come to an agreement with the Republicans and come together and put together a unitary plan and a single set of maps.
Because the ultimate say in this process rests with the Democratic majorities in the state legislature, who can either throw out your lines or they can accept them, do you feel like you and your fellow Democratic appointees are in a stronger bargaining position on the commission? And because the Republicans on the commission, this is really their only chance to have input in the lines, because I'll bet anybody dollars to donuts that if this goes to the legislature, Andrew Stewart Cousins and Carl Hastie won't be asking their Republican counterparts for any input whatsoever. So do you feel like at the end of the day, Jack Martins and the fellow Republicans on the commission have an incentive to bargain with you, and that's a big negotiating position that you can sort of work from?
Well, so, you know, I look at this as a dual step process, right? We have our, you know, what we're doing right now is trying to assess communities of interest, trying to get the public's input on maps, trying to get the public's input on where they think their communities are, right? And then we're taking that and going forward, right? And so, you know, I think that in negotiating with the Republicans, you know, I don't know what their views are, but I view this as a single process that we're trying to achieve going into, you know, drawing a single set of maps.
Are you still waiting for any additional population information, including stuff about the state's prison population?
One of the changes that came out of the 2010 census was that prison populations are being redistributed to the communities where prisoners are from. So, you know, over the last 20 years, there's been a dramatic push away from what many people view as unfair, which is prisons being in predominantly rural districts. And so individuals who in many cases legally could not vote being counted towards rural districts. And so, you know, coming out of the last 10 years for state districts, those people are being redistributed to their initial home or their initial, you know, where they're from originally. And so that information came out on September 14th, the day before we put the lines out. The Republican plan reflects that data. The Democratic plan does not. You know, we sat down and we determined that there was no way we could just recalculate the entire state in less than 24 hours before putting the maps out to the public. But that was the last data that we were waiting for, you know, in terms of just raw counts. And so, yeah, at this point, you know, it's crazy to say it, but, you know, after a year of census delays, we finally have all the numbers that we need to begin drawing the line.
So what's on your agenda for the commission now that these maps are out?
So over the next starting next month, we are beginning a public tour, hopefully in person, asking the public for input on the maps. Yeah, you know, we had an initial tour entirely virtual. That tour was not required by the state constitution. This one is, where by law we must have at least somewhat hearings in different locations across the state. And we're going to ask the public for their input on, you know, on our maps, and ask them, you know, and then take that, incorporate it in December, and then submit the maps to the legislature accordingly. in early January, depending on the results of the referendum that's on the ballot in November.
If this tour is in person, what sort of tailgating are you expecting?
There are many things that are exciting in the world, and I think redistricting is one of them, but you know, there's tailgating and there's tailgating. We welcome all visitors. Though I will say that we are unsure whether to shift to virtual participation. State constitution states that there must be hearings in certain municipalities. We're not sure how that will play out. So with COVID, with the way things are in the world, we're just going to have to try to figure this out. But we need the public's input, as we draw these lines.
How does the constitutional referendum that's going to be on the ballot in November complicate the work you're doing down the stretch?
So one of the things it does is it moves the deadlines back. The state constitution, the referendum, takes into account that the state moved primaries from September to June. So as I recall, the deadline under the referendum becomes January 1st. That, frankly, is what we were at least I am operating under anyways, even if the referendum fails. Because boards of election need time to completely shuffle their election districts and their precincts to reflect the new map. So, I think that more than anything, the timeline issue is what is the most important thing coming out of the referendum for us as a commission.
And finally, after the lines came out, a GOP assemblyman from the Hudson Valley, Mike Lawler, came out with a fundraising email saying he was targeted by the Albany insiders on the commission who wanted to handicap his 2022 chances by drawing him just an unwinnable district. So what do you have specifically against Assemblyman Lawler? Did he wrong you in a previous life? Why do you consider yourself do you consider yourself an Albany insider considering you're a downstate guy?
Well, so having only been to Albany once in my adult life, I would say I'm many things, but not an Albany insider. I think that we can just say that we drew the districts, as well as we could. There were over 200 districts. I think I remember where Assemblyman Lawler's district is. I'm not sure.
Rockland County.
So I can assure the Assemblyman that we did not personally attempt to wrong him in any way. And like I said, we didn't look to see where incumbents were. Let alone whose seats were which. So we just drew the seats to best reflect communities as we understood them. So I can assert the assemblyman that we were not personally trying to do anything to him. But I appreciate the thought, and I appreciate him thinking that I'm an Albany insider.
Well, we've been speaking with David Imamura. He is the chair of the state's bipartisan redistricting commission. David, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck over the next couple months.
Thank you, David. We're going to need it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.